Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Cooligans. We've got a big one. We got Tyler Adams.
That's right.
Tyler Adams.
You're not going to confuse him with anybody else.
No.
USMNT and Bournemouth. We'll talk to him and we'll get some a little scoop about Canada soccer and everything that's going on with them. The drone scandal. We talked to Manuel Veit about that. The journalist. Transfer market.
It's crazy. And Olympic soccer. We talk about the men and the women and everything else happening today on The Cooligans, everybody.
Vamos.
You know what? Someone said to me something the other day. Has anyone done this? Someone says something to you and it just like gives you almost like PTSD that you didn't realize it. Gone. That's from an era before.
Right, right. Yeah, like when my mom says, I love you, I'm like, oh my God.
Oh my God. Where have you been? Bro, somebody told me that it was talking about a mutual friend of ours, someone who works on the CBS show who's much older. And they go, yeah, that guy did a really good photo series on bike messengers. And I was like, bro.
That was the thing.
Bike messengers don't even exist anymore.
Nah, bro. You just text.
Yeah, you don't need none of that. Email.
When somebody said, like, I used to send messages via pigeon. I'm like, whoa, that was a thing we did.
Yeah, but imagine pigeons disappeared and you were reminded of
it. Well, now everybody, they're doing DoorDash and they're doing Uber Eats.
So remember, like, bike messenger bag, chain across?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, their shins were just, like, shattered. It was, like, different cut marks all over them. They wore shorts in the winter.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And they would just bike through the city like crazy.
They would roll up one that... Their left leg.
They got one because they didn't want to get caught in the chain.
Exactly, bro.
It was a great, just like a, I don't know, I think it's on YouTube. Someone was telling me about it and I found it, but I never watched the whole thing. Apparently, there's like an international biking contest that happens every year. They pick a different city and people from all over the world bring like their best, you know, cyclists to it.
Okay.
And like the Germans and the Swedes show up in like that, you know, like the aerodynamic outfits all looking like Lance Armstrong.
Yeah.
Well, it happened in LA once and a bunch of San Francisco bike messengers decided to go to the competition. Everyone's like in those like aerodynamic outfits with like the clicking.
Yeah,
these guys are in flip flops, smoking cigarettes, and they blew out the competition.
Wow,
they crushed it. These guys are biking up and down those hills.
Exactly, because they you know those cyclists haven't dealt with the amount of like you know the automated cars that they have to go up against.
Not at all. These dudes are just like shooting up during the break. They're like you know these are like old school San Francisco guys.
Right, right, right.
They still won.
Amazing,
dude. Shouts to all the bike messengers. Out there,
yo,
bro.
Were you a bike messenger? Tweet at the show.
Yo, okay? Send us a picture of your shins with the scars. if you was a bike messenger.
Okay, let us know, you know, how many years of service you put in, okay?
Salute to the bike messengers. And don't be, if you're a bike messenger in Austin, Texas, we don't care. It's got to be a major city.
Is Austin not a major city?
Nah.
Now? All right.
Come on. Being a bike messenger.
That's a big city, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's not that. You got to have like crazy cars.
Got it.
I need Chicago, Miami, crazy drivers, New York, LA.
Welcome to the Cooligans, everybody, out here on sports. Everybody, excited to be back. A lot of things to discuss, especially in the Olympics. We have an incredible guest. Before we mention that, obviously, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
Today we got a big show. You
there's
know?
There's a lot of guests.
This feels like you know when Keenan on SNL does mm-hmm. does his Big Poppy impression.
Oh yeah.
It's a big a big lunch, you know.
Yeah.
But it's a big show. Okay.
It's such a simple rudimentary impression. And yet it hits every time.
Exactly. So this is one of the biggest shows we've ever done.
Did you ever see Tracy Morgan do the Dominican weatherman?
I have, yeah.
It's classic.
Classic, okay?
He's like, it's too cold, man. I'm from Dominican Republic. I don't do it cold.
So, well, we have a lot to go over because obviously... Olympics are going on and all the stuff, but we have big guests today.
Yeah, in fact, here's a bike messenger. Come on.
No. Imagine we do the whole show with a bike messenger.
Just some guy going like, soccer. What's that about?
No, somebody else whose shins might be a little bit torn up. Tyler Adams of Bournemouth Football Club is going to be joining us.
Bro, say that one more time.
Tyler Adams of Bournemouth and the U.S. Men's National Team, the captain of the U.S. Men's National Team, to talk about Bournemouth's preseason and leading up to the Premier League season. And
we also ask him a little bit about what the controversy in Canada.
We got to get some USMNT thoughts on these drones.
And he gave us such a nice nugget that we decided, why don't we also have?
we're going to be joined after that by Manuel Vate. I believe I'm
Fate. You got to have fate.
Okay. Limp Bizkit vibes out here.
oh, yeah.
Or George Michael, wherever.
Yeah, whoever
you want to credit. Manu Vate, he works for Transfer Market, and he's a journalist. He covers, obviously, Canada soccer.
Transfer Market?
Yeah. What do you call it?
There's no E, so I say Transfer Market. That's what they say in Europe, so that's just what I'm...
Really?
There's no E.
Remember back
in the day, they would take the last E out of words?
Yeah. That's that was
Tumblr. Twitter originally didn't have an E after the T and the R, between the T and the R.
Yeah. But
so they're Transfer Market.
that is how it's spelled, but we know how to say it.
Is it though? Because in Europe, they don't say market, and it's a European company. So I'm thinking maybe we're wrong.
All right. So everybody, let's get a poll going. How do you pronounce Transfer Market, the website? Mm-hmm. Because we can't decide.
Yeah.
So
you let say us market know. Or you say mark?
Let us know in the comments as well. Okay. So we talked to him about everything going on in Canada because he lives in Canada and
covers
Canada soccer extensively. So
this is like the guy to have. On.
Exactly.
Because you and I could sit here and spit our own opinion, but this guy's got full on knowledge.
So I bumped into him at the game, at the NYCFC game yesterday. I was like, yo, come through. We got to talk about this. All right. So
look at you, dude.
Bro, okay. I'm boots on the ground.
It's always where, hey, yo, the season tickets now tax deductible because you're doing work. I was also at that game also talking to Emmanuel Fink.
If the government's watching.
Yeah, allegedly. Why am I saying that for my own thing?
So, Olympics for the men and the women. Let's get started.
Have you been getting into the Olympics in general? For me, it's the soccer only. The other stuff is like, this is to keep us busy until the next
soccer game. We had the opening ceremony and the conservatives.
History, bro.
The conservatives are losing their minds.
Over what?
Because of the opening ceremony, and they saw, you know, because
of the Last Supper thing?
The Last Supper thing, the headless.
The Sopranos did that, bro.
The headless woman singing. That's very sensitive.
It's bad about everything, bro.
But this is France. France, there's no rules when it comes to
rules,
this.
Bro.
This is not, it's not an American. I understand. Like getting mad at an American thing, even though it's like still silly, but it's like the French, you're gonna get mad at the French for being risque. The word risque is French.
It's French.
Bro. What are you doing?
You know what? If you get caught cheating on your significant other in France, you know what they do? They high five you, bro. Your wife's like, yo, you have to get in here.
I thought I was married to some loser, but I was wrong.
Damn right. I'm married good, bro. Everybody trying to get at you. Get in there and do some work. I want them talking nice about my man.
Okay.
Bro, France is like.
There was a really hilarious TikTok trend that I saw that was really funny. And it was women asking other women, would you prefer that your husband cheated on you or that he tried to cheat on you and the woman rejected him? And a lot of the women were like, did you cheat on me? Like, yeah, just like, I want me to get... If you were the guy who tried it.
If you're going
to
do dirt, you better get in that mud. You know what I mean? Don't have me out here looking like a fool.
Which is so hilarious, okay? That's how the French operate, all
right? Yeah, the French is just... Remember Arsene Wenger got caught with a mistress? And his wife was like, yeah, and? Stop interrupting his dates, man. The guy's stressed.
What are you, a cop?
Yeah. Damn. So, she actually said, ain't no fun if my homies can't get none. Which I thought was like, wow.
Yo, Wenger's wife is a G.
Miss Wenger, bro. She let the homies crack, yo.
All right, let's get to it. The Olympics.
Yes.
We'll talk. The men played first the other day. So they played against New Zealand. They won.
What? Talk to me about how worried you are going into this match.
Wasn't worried at all.
Me neither.
Wasn't worried at
all. But they still impressed me.
They did well, man. I think not getting the clean sheet was probably the only kind of blemish there. But for the most part, every single aspect of the game was won by the U.S. when it came to just like fighting for those second balls, aerial duels, tough challenges, putting in some fouls here and there.
But like, also just the overloading their back line,
mm-hmm.
being able to get numbers forward, Tanner Tessman almost being a single pivot back there where much more conservative against France. I think players stood back. Georgi Mihailovic was, I think, too deep. Gianluca Busio stayed too deep.
Yeah.
I think you saw how good we can be with Tanner Tessman sort of sitting back, able to ping balls, make some nice connecting passes. But in particular, he seems to be able to find Gianluca Busio very well and very easily. Gianluca Busio being able to be efficient. I was not happy with how wide we seemed to play. I'm like, bro, play central. Yo, Duncan McGuire right there. He ain't doing nothing.
Yeah, I mean, he's still not as much a part of the game as I would like him to be.
Not at all. And to me, it's like, bro, you only brought 1-9. Use him.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, it's
And yo, his work rate is crazy. He's working on and off the ball. The way I remember it is that, remember in the NBA, they always used to say, like, if your center was willing to track back and defend,
mm-hmm.
then you got to feed him. You got to give him the ball. I think the same thing, man. If your nine is tracking, they're the first press, they're aggressive, they're chasing after it, bro, pass them a couple nice ones. You know what I mean?
It's been difficult. It feels like the midfielders are the ones making things happen offensively more than Duncan McGuire. And look, I mean, when you look at
it feels like it's by design, though.
I mean, we're looking at the formation here, and it's 4-4-1-1. So
I've seen it in other places as a 4-1-2-3.
Yeah,
So it
feels a little bit like the priority is to not give up goals. But you know, look, they took 22 shots in this game, so clearly, like they were overpowering New Zealand, and it just felt it was nice to see the confidence there, and I think having played against France as the first game, maybe it was nice to just get smacked up, deal with the most difficult opponent right in that first game.
That's like bad news, good news. Give me the bad news first.
Yeah, and just to get kind of settled into the tournament, I thought Kevin Paredes was great as well.
Yeah, but why is he playing on the right?
You don't want him on the right.
He's on the left everywhere else. He's on the left for Wolfsburg. He's been on the left every time he's played in the youth setup.
He is left footed. He's left footed.
Bro, what are we doing? I get that he could cut in, but
he can't. Look, he could be a left back or left wing back, but this is not. It's not crazy for the opposite footed player to play on the on that side. So like
no, but I think it makes him one dimensional. Because he's going to cut in, and there's like he's not going to go to the touchline. He's just going to cut in every single time.
Also, he could just really, really work on his right foot to send in some crosses, but maybe that's
sure.
maybe that's
but
not.
Why do that when we could just put him on the left and now he's automatic?
It's tough. I mean, but you know, I guess it's like making the compromise. Would Paxton Aronson do well on the right side? I don't know. Because he can cut into his right. Probably he could probably cut into his right better than Paredes could cut into his right if he was on the left side. So that's kind of maybe the compromise.
I'm pretty confused now.
I'm just saying, like on the left side, you cut into your right.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Very well.
I think it was a lot of left rights before. And at some point, I completely lost it. I was like, I'm going to let my man cook.
I'm up, down, down, left, right, BA, select, start.
I know, right?
Well, you know what I mean.
Suddenly, we got infinite lives.
But look, an impressive win. I mean, I don't think there's, I don't think it's too much of a shock. I don't think, having the goals from Mihailovic, having the goals from Walker Zimmerman to have the over 23, the overage players play well.
Which you needed because I think Mihailovic in particular played pretty poorly against France. Wasn't his best
Busio, showing. I haven't heard any update, but I know he left in the first half.
Potentially injured. Potentially long-term injury. Long-term as far as this competition is concerned.
Yeah, so that's kind of I don't even know. Why is the Olympics only 18? It just feels like with this particular sport, you need at least 2021 kind of helps just a little bit.
It doesn't have to be 23, but 20 would be nice.
18 is just like,
it's tight.
You lose one player and it makes things really, really complicated.
Who impressed you the most in this game? Is there anyone that stood out to you?
I thought Georgi Mihailovic was great. I thought I mean, I'm obviously watching the homie Kevin Paredes, and I thought he played really confidently and really went at defenders.
He offers something I don't think anyone else on this team does, which is he's willing to drive directly at a defender. He also does that thing where he draws two or three defenders at him, and he's smart enough to either wiggle his way out of it or draw a foul.
Yeah,
slow the game down, transition forward.
But you can see the his time in Bundesliga. When we were there, what, last 2 years ago?
2 years.
Two years ago. And he was, I mean, I forgot how old is he now?
I think he's 21.
He's 21 years old. So he was, he's a kid.
He's a kid.
But you can see his maturity, just how he's handling the game. And even in this game where, you know, they were already scoring 2-3 or whatever, and they wanted more. And Kevin Paredes was like screaming. He did the Argentinian point at his feet. Yo, give me the rock, bro.
I'm right here. Look how lonely my foot is.
Let me eat. I want to eat too. Yeah. You
scuff
know?
Up my kicks.
So the fact that he was that hungry for it was great to see. So I thought he had a great game as well. And I loved they did the celebration. You saw after he got the assist.
He had a dance with Busio.
He had a dance with Busio. That's the Glorilla.
Oh, that's what it was. The camera cut away from it.
Yeah, because the Olympic cameras, they don't know.
They don't get the
vibes.
They're
not connect. They need a tween, you know, that does TikTok dances to be the camera operator.
Or just someone who is in French, because, you know, they're like, pan away because they scored a goal. They're probably going to light a cigarette. You know, they don't get it. You know what I mean?
They don't get it.
Sometimes there's vibes associated with what's happening.
They're missing out.
I think for me, Tanner Tessman is really impressive. Just solid. Mans up. He's a big man.
Yeah.
You know, in there. He's calm. He knows how to, you know, advance the ball forward. He knows how to, you know, be the single pivot. I was really happy. But also Hariel, bro.
Nathan Hariel, yeah.
Hariel, as I want to call him.
Okay, my man.
Double R, bro.
We Latinofy some of these players. You know how we do.
Yo, he's from Tampa. So in a way, you basically Latino whether you like it or not. So what is his first name? Nathan Hariel?
Nathan Hariel, yeah.
Hariel. Bro, I'm like, all right, he's not too bad on the right.
Sure.
I know that was a big question for
he's
the U.S.
Young.
He's super young.
But as far as when it comes to, you know, experience and, like, leadership, my man is, with the Union, has had how many minutes? He has so many games. He is the lockdown starter.
Yeah, he's 90 minutes every game.
He's had about at least two full seasons of just being the number one guy. So he has, you know, he's young, but he has a lot of a veteran presence on this team.
So yeah, I'm really impressed with him on the right. Not that he's all of a sudden just the greatest right back we've ever seen, but I didn't know what to expect from him coming in. You know, is the step from Philly Union to an Olympics going to be too much, too fast?
Sure.
And I think he's done a good job.
No, he's done great.
Let's talk about the ladies. About 2-4-1 wins, bro.
Oh, that's right. Look at that. What a coincidence.
Crazy, bro. America, bro. What? Shouts to Ali Trost, who said all 4-1. And 1-4-all, bro.
Wow.
Yo, she dropped bars, right?
I didn't realize Ali Trost Martin was going to be in the next XXL cipher.
Damn, bro. LL Ali Trost Martin, yo.
So the U.S. women.
Little Ali. Young Ali.
Happy birthday, Ali Krieger, by the way. Her birthday was yesterday. Another homie. Okay. The U.S. women defeat Germany.
Bro, they took apart Germany.
They
bro.
Did, but that's not how it started. It was a little scary up in the beginning.
Just a listener, by the way.
A listener with a huge save. But then after that, it was all U.S. And it was all, look, I was on here talking before people, even in the YouTube comments.
Wait, you about to pat yourself on the back, baby? Because you earned this one.
No. I'm saying I was wrong. I'm glad that I was wrong because Trinity Rodman.
I can tell right now that your wife is like, wait, something. I feel weird. Something weird is happening.
A tingle.
Why is my husband claiming he was wrong?
I just want to be clear. In my marriage, I am the first to be like, I messed up here. I am not these old age.
We're getting to need confirmation on that before you just out here spitting that you're the perfect husband.
I'll be like, I was wrong, but I'm going to need you to say you were wrong okay? I'm
willing to admit it as long as you are also willing to admit it. Mutually assured destruction.
You're
over
looking
here.
At a healed gentleman over here, all right?
I've been sat through a lot of conversations.
Okay? I put in the work. Uh-huh. I read the books I need to read.
Bro,
I've seen the therapist I need to talk to.
I've done earned this humbleness.
So, But Trinity Rodman, who I said essentially since the World Cup, I said, I don't think she's doing enough. I do not think she's getting enough assists. I don't think she's putting enough, you know, dangerous crosses in. And maybe that it could have been a Vlatko thing. It could have been a tactical thing.
You put it in Emma Hayes and all of a sudden she's.
Emma Hayes said, I'm going to unlock this.
Bro, what's all these shackles on you, yo? Let's unlock this and see how you pull out.
What was Vlatko doing? Why did I walk into?
Yo, Vlatko.
So,
why is this over here and this over here?
I thought Trini Rodman was the best player in this game because she just creates so many opportunities. And you saw.
Can I tell you the best thing she creates? Is chaos for the defenders.
Oh, without a doubt.
The way they're like, what is she going to do next? Bro, she could go to the touchline. She could cut in. She could take the ball on her own and score. She could pass to one of her teammates. Yeah. She is such a versatile player on the right-hand side that, oh my God, where has this been?
Yeah, and the thing I also really appreciate is she is a right-footed player. Mm. How many shots did she take with her left? Dangerous shots that keep her out of save. I think
she's ambidextrous.
She's ambidextrous, okay? Bro. All right? So the fact that she...
Conservatives mad right now. They're like, what? Oh, that just means both hands.
My goodness. There's something that happens. As soon as you talk U.S. Women's National Team, everybody's like, are they kneeling? And blah, blah, blah.
There was comments on one of my posts. Yeah, I'm like... Why is this still a thing?
Get over it. Why are we still talking about this? Okay. Anyway, I thought she was the best player. And you can see the fun that they're now having, given especially with Mallory Swanson and Sophia Smith. And they're just like, yo, Trini's gonna do everything out there. Yeah. I just gotta be where I need to be.
Bro, in particular, Sophia Smith's like, hey man. If I get into an open space, I got a feeling that the smoke and the tornado that's happening over there will somehow net out for me getting an easy shot.
Yeah, so it's great to see. And I think we haven't had a player sort of like this in quite a while.
At least not in this form.
Yeah.
This
form, but just like this type of player that where you sort of, let them do whatever they got to do with like 1v1. But I really love the setups for 1-2s, and I think that's what led to several chances, but it led to the first goal. Trinity lays off the ball. I think she laid it off to, it might have been Rose Lavelle or Lindsey Horan, but she's like, as soon as Trinity gives you the ball, she is making the run. As soon as it leaves her foot, she's like, this is where I need you to put the ball, and I'm going to be there.
I'm only giving this to you so you can give it back to me.
Exactly. So that was just awesome to see. And also get Lynn Williams getting a goal as well. I think it just does something for the confidence of the entire team. It's just like, this is, they beat a very good team. And, Germany, what was it? I forgot her first name. Obadorf.
Elena Obadorf.
Got injured. So she,
she's out.
She's out.
But she's also more of a defensive center midfielder.
Yeah, but a very important player.
Gavin is the big one for them right now. And, she was locked down.
Yeah. And then, and Pop as well didn't do as much as we sort of expected. The one sort of talking point that came out of it, I saw a lot of people kind of complaining, not even necessarily complaining, but or at least making fun of, was kind of Lindsey Horan. They think she didn't really have a great game. Like this,
I said this on the CBS Morning Show.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the one place you can nitpick. It feels like she's playing under Vlatko rules or Vlatko's guidelines, and not yet under Emma Hayes. Unless maybe it's not easily seen what Emma Hayes has asked her to do.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I think she's an incredible player. I think Lindsey Horan still to this day has so much to offer, not just her veteran leadership and presence. But she still is an incredible player. And I know everyone wants like this whole, youth movement, like especially after the front three are just so dynamic. It's like, who else we got that's young and exciting? So I get it. But for me, Lindsey Horan, I think she slowed the play down too much. It felt like I don't want to call it like a black hole when the ball got to her. Right. But it just like the momentum slowed. It came to a bit of a screeching halt at times where I don't think that's. It wasn't to the benefit of the team where I could understand if it was taking the sting out of the game, but it didn't feel like that. It felt like it took the sting out of our game.
Sure. Yeah. It's interesting because in the last World Cup, Lindsey Horan and Sam Mewis, mm-hmm. that pair, they called them like the Twin Towers, right? Yeah. That was like that was them too. And they it seems like
you're talking about previous to last, because Sam Mewis, I don't think, was part of the last World
Cup. No, the 2019 World Cup. But it felt like the having them two together allowed Horan and Mewis to like physically dominate opponents, because set pieces were such a huge part. And
you ain't getting around those two.
Yeah, and they're both like either 6 feet or near 6 feet, mm-hmm. so they're obviously taller than a lot of the other players. So this is what felt like Horan's strength, playing in that sort of style, like a little bit more physical and aggressive, especially on set pieces. And now that she is like now more of a facilitator, and they need her to do more.
The game's moving so fast around her.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's. And I don't think that the game is. I don't think the game is moving too fast around.
No,
her.
It's just different than what you were talking about. But I
do
think
for when you see the style of play, especially and the traits of the other players, it feels a little bit like Horan is like not setting those players up to the best to sort of succeed, and in given the decisions that she's making from time to time.
I just think she's very clearly. Things like, and maybe she was told, I want to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
But if the ball goes to Lindsay Ram, we're going to slow it down.
Sure. But she did get the assist in the game against Zambia. So it's not like, she's not contributing anything. But in this game in particular, against tougher competition, the scrutiny is a little bit higher.
Yeah. And it wasn't really about her production on, scoring or assisting. Mm-hmm. She still has that. I mean, that's one of her game, right? But the one part of her game is the ability to pass to a player. But for me, in particular, the ball going to her midfield didn't offer enough dynamic play, not advancing the ball forward, not getting other players in better position.
Yeah.
It just felt like it would go to them, and then everyone kind of have to wait around a little bit. Just a little bit.
Because
hesitation.
It's a stark difference from like when you see Rose Lavelle with the ball, where whether it's either a great move technically or just a great pass, she can immediately do that, and you already see where her sort of mind is, mm-hmm. and how she sort of
she also moves into a space that draws the defender out to create more space. It's just it's a very sharp. She has such a high football IQ, Rose Lavelle. Yeah.
But this was a great performance, and impressive stuff from them. So it was nice to see, because the U.S. have not had a big win against. A big team, a big European team in quite a while. And something
this is the best they've looked since that 2019 World Cup.
I know. This is something where, there's still, there were a lot of doubts going into these Olympics. And again, Emma Hayes has turned things around pretty dramatically.
And she's only been there for, a month and a half?
Right.
So this isn't 100% of what this team could possibly be. So if this is, what would you guess, 80%, 75%?
Yeah.
If that's, bro, this is amazing. Yeah, this is against the Germany, who, remember, was considered one of the favorites to win the gold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we absolutely bodied them.
Yeah, so that was impressive. The other, just a couple of the results for the women in
Canada
the Olympics.
Canada beat France.
Canada beat France.
Allegedly.
We'll talk about all the Canada stuff in a little bit, because I still think, even with their point deduction, that they're probably going to continue. They're probably going to move on to the knockout round. But Japan beat Brazil. This was a big
huge.
This is a big result for them, because they were down in this game 1-0. And then the late goal, which was just a poor mistake from Brazil.
Just
gave the ball away in their own half in just a bad situation. And Momoko Tanikawa scores the game winner from like 40 yards out.
You literally got the ball, looked up, popped it.
Keeper was like, oh, I didn't know there was going to be a shot going to be taken there. So impressive stuff from Japan. And just good games. These Olympics, I think this is definitely one of the Olympics I've paid way more attention, much more closely. On the women's side, yes, but the men haven't. Since we've been doing our show,
this is the first time.
This is the first time that the men have been.
This is the first
time
they qualified since 2008. So did you see the scoreline of Australia Zambia?
Yes, it was 6-5.
6-5, 11 goals in one game. Would they say, okay, no goalkeepers?
Which is the wild thing. I was talking to someone yesterday about Zambia, who Barbara Banda, who obviously plays for Orlando Pride. And then Rachel Kundananji, she who plays for BFC, they are complete superstars, and you can clearly see these are two of the best players in the world,
surrounded by
just a couple friends out there. With all due respect, but it's just like the talent gap between from those two players to the rest of the team is stark. It is
Imagine you were really, you and your group of friends had an NBA player on it and you decided to do a pickup game.
Right.
That's how it feels when Barbara Band is playing for Zambia. Only no disrespect to the rest of the Zambian team, but she is so good.
Yeah.
She is so good that she makes everyone else around her look, mediocre compared to her.
It's one of those things where, credit to her for not being visibly frustrated at her own teammates. Right. For like,
she's not doing the Ronaldo.
She's not doing, or the Zlatan.
Or the Zlatan, yeah.
So wild games, entertaining.
6-5, though. That one's 6-5 crazy.
6-5 is crazy. But the other, we gotta dedicate some time to La República Dominicana because they played in their second game.
Is this DR Watch?
DR Watch is on, okay? Dominican Republic, their first game was against Egypt 0-0. Mm-hmm. Their next game against Spain, we were all excited for it. They end up losing.
Going up against the colonizer.
This is the perfect storyline.
Yeah.
All right? And then DR get their first goal in Olympic history.
Amazing.
Against Spain. You love to see it.
Right.
Okay?
Which equalized it 1-1. That was a big one.
Exactly.
And then moments later.
And also, the goal that they gave up was just the goalkeeper, who they switched goalkeepers for some reason. I don't exactly know why. But they bring in the other goalkeeper. After the other one got a clean sheet in the first game, Valdez, who plays for the Houston Dynamo. And my man just gives the ball away at the top of his own box and just is sets up for basically an empty net. It was just absurd. But Angel Montes de Oca.
We all know him.
My man plays for Cibao FC.
Hey.
Where my family's from. I went to their Champions League
game.
The
local. Support your local.
He scores off a corner.
Is he the only player that comes from the Dominican?
No, there's a couple. There's like three, I think, that play in Dominican clubs. So he scores off a corner. The pass is from Edison Ascona, who is an Inter Miami player currently on loan at Las Vegas Lights. Mm. They tie the game up against Spain, and they're playing well. They look pretty good.
If the game ended there, that is national pride.
This
moment.
Is tremendous. Yeah. Even regardless if the game ends, getting their first goal at the Olympics in soccer.
Very proud.
So 38th minute, Angel Montes de Oca gets the goal. Edison Ascona gets the assist. And then in the 46th minute, there is a red card issued to
controversy
to Edison Ascona. For kicking out at Pau Cubarsí of Spain. Cubarsí fouls Ascona.
Mm-hmm.
And then he falls over him. And he's, this happens. This is so common whether, you foul a player, you fall on top of him, and they get frustrated. And they usually push off and they get annoyed. But Ascona kicked out. And it was so obvious. And he didn't catch him, clean. He kind of sort of kicked through his knee and kind of missed and went between both of his legs. And the contact wasn't egregious, but you can't kick out from the ground. We all know this. So this is just something where he is also the captain. He's wearing the captain's armband. Yeah. We see it there. He's the captain of this team. This is the thing with Dominican soccer Twitter. There's like seven of us, all right?
Right. I was wondering why you gave it a name. It's basically a group chat.
There's not many of us, and there's a little bit of showing some sympathy for him and for this, and it was a dumb decision, and he'll learn from this and stuff like that. But this is DR's first time at the Olympics. You helped them get to these Olympics. Mm-hmm. This is such a huge moment. You just tied the game. How frustrated can you be? And it's only the four. It's what, the 46th minute?
Yeah. What is, even if you land this and it doesn't get caught, what are you solving?
I've played soccer here and there. Okay, no. I've been fouled a couple times.
Yeah, you tell us.
Okay.
I know. What's it like getting called to the Olympics, Christian?
But this is just, I mean, it's, I know he feels terrible already.
I'm sure he does.
It's just, it's so, it's inexcusable. And there's just, I hate that this is a lesson that he has to learn.
Not during the Olympics.
Not during the Olympics.
Yeah. You might not make it back.
In a friendly.
Yeah.
Against, you know, whatever, St. Kitts and Nevis.
Yeah.
Do it there. Not here.
Yeah, that's right. You heard Christian. Kick someone from St. Kitts and Nevis.
You know, it's just, it would be much more understandable. Yeah. It's a bummer because even with 10 men, a 10-man Dominican Republic is not going
to do... 11-man... An 11-man Dominican Republic doesn't have any advantage.
Exactly.
10 but, is not... That's not what
you
want.
But they played pretty well. The fact that they only gave up two more goals with 10-man... They did their thing. I am incredible.
Please, for their bravery, they're going to get the Purple Heart when they go back to DR.
Okay. El Alfa gives it to you. You know, he pins it on.
Cardi B calls you personally.
So this is something, like, I'm incredibly proud of this team. This is just, they have one more game tomorrow. They play against Uzbekistan. So what happens is Egypt is playing against Spain. DR has a -2 goal differential. I believe Egypt has a +1 goal differential. So you figure Spain is going to beat Egypt. Mm-hmm. They beat them by 2 goals and DR wins by 2 goals against Uzbekistan. We're good. And we're ending the knockout round at the Olympics. So it's not impossible. But we need Spain's help. So we'll see how it goes. But just...
Yeah, what's the likelihood that they beat Uzbekistan in your mind? I'm going to say very low.
I think it's... I mean, I probably under 50%, but but Uzbekistan hasn't won a game. They've given up 3 goals, only scored one, and I believe they look like the worst team in this group. So I do think it's possible. They can do it. It's really,
look out for Shermadov, man. That kid can score.
Okay. I'm gonna look out for Shermadov. Yeah. All right.
If you're gonna kick anyone,
I'll keep an eye out. All right. So that's our Olympics coverage. All right.
Hey, congratulations for scoring a goal to DR. Yeah, that is huge.
It's huge. I'm very, very proud. All right. Let's talk to Tyler Adams. Okay.
What did you just say?
I feel like Tyler Adams has to weigh in on this Dominican controversy about this red card. No, we'll talk to him about Bournemouth and USMNT stuff and everything going on with Canada. So here goes. Here's that conversation with Tyler Adams.
We're here with our special guest, Wappinger's Falls finest.
Bro,
okay.
Bro.
Salute the state of New York. Okay.
Okay.
The one, the only U.S. men's national team. Obviously, Bournemouth's own, making us all proud out there in England. The one, the only, Tyler Adams, everybody!
Tyler, what's good, brother?
Nothing much. Thank you for having me, boys.
All right, dude. I'm absolutely honored to have you here. You know, this has been, it's an interesting, history. Obviously, we've watched your career since the beginning. Admittedly, we'll be honest, we're both NYCFC fans, so you've broken our hearts quite a bit, a couple times.
Yeah, man.
But at least you weren't part of that 7-0.
Thank goodness.
I wasn't part of it either. I wasn't part of that.
Nah. That's right. So thank you. Nah. Thank you for that. But we've seen you were just a baby when we first started seeing you play in Major League Soccer. Now you're at Bournemouth. You've traveled around Europe playing for a couple different clubs, and now you're doing the preseason tour. You're part of the preseason tour for an English club, man. I mean, how does that feel to be, coming back to your country and also being an ambassador as well and such an important part of U.S. soccer?
No, it's definitely special. Obviously, coming after Copa America, which I wish we obviously had made a bit of a run, getting knocked out allowed me to be a part of this tour. And coming back and being around L.A. and seeing people and just kind of seeing how much the sport has grown is really, really special to me, because every time that I represent our country with U.S. soccer, the goal is to grow the grassroots and get more people involved and, you know, try and motivate that next generation of kids. So, coming back now and, you know, even getting recognized here and there, you can just see that our sport is growing. So it's great.
When Bournemouth comes out to the U.S., does it help explain a little bit about your general energy. You know, I see a lot of the Brits being like, man, Tyler's a dog. Yo, he don't give up. He's just not my, yo, he's East Coast to the fullest. You feel me? Are they starting to get it? Are these Brits starting to understand what you all about?
Nah, because we're in LA, bro. It's too relaxed over here. People don't know.
It's too chill.
People don't know the hustle and bustle. Hustle and bustle in New York, man. It's different. Different. Tell them I'm not from here. I'm from 6 hours away. So a lot changes.
And that's by plane.
Yeah, look. Exactly. And just the I want to get just some sense of just how you're doing and how you're feeling. I know you were dealing with a lot of injuries. It was also reported you had gotten a surgery to help recover and get you ready for the Premier League season. What's it like, sort of just those ups and downs? Because I know even, you know, we're U.S. men's national team fans. We watch you and we know it's frustrating. It's frustrating for us, having to see those emotional roller coasters of dealing with injuries.
Yeah, it's really tough, man. I think the past year and a half, I've been through a lot on the injury front. Before that, I had never really dealt with it, so I didn't really know what it entailed and what it would go through. And, you know, initially when it was like, oh, it's going to be a 3-4 month injury, it turned into something a lot longer, lingering things. You know, everyone knows my mentality, and I always grind to get back to peak form, and I'm confident in my abilities to do that. But what I went through most recently has just been a lot of stop-start, and it's been a little bit frustrating for sure, because I just want to be out there supporting my team, whether it's representing my country or representing Bournemouth in the right way, and being able to compete. And, you know, after Copa, I was still feeling a little something, so I'm happy to have that dealt with now. I'm going through a rehab process now. I won't miss too much of the beginning part of the season, so hopefully 4 or 5 games, 3 or 4 maybe. Hopefully I can just fly through the season and have some consistency.
I just want to ask, when it comes to, you know, dealing with injuries, picking up injuries, is it more likely to get injured? Are you more likely to get injured on the pitch, or, you know, chasing some midfielders, or chasing your new baby around because you might pick up either a hammy issue, because these kids are all over the place. Right, I just had a baby recently as well, so I'm just curious.
Yeah, he's 6 months now and crawling, so it's definitely going to be chasing him more than chasing midfielders.
Yeah, that kid's going to give you problems. I love it. Listen, I'm going to ask this as someone who knows his body will fail him at every stop of the way. I once reached for a bag of Doritos and pulled my back out, and I was I'm not making that up.
I'm not too far off.
How do you trust your body in that recovery process? Is that difficult? Have you learned to maybe like meditate or something? How do you get through that?
No, listen, I think I found a really good balance just in my life in general, recently having my son. Putting things into perspective and what really matters allows me to be calm whenever I've been on the field since being injured. I think the biggest thing for me is throughout the rehab process, throughout the way that I play in games, it's only 100% for me. Every single day in training, every single day in games. And I don't have an ability to tune it down a notch. So sometimes I just need to realize I need to take a step back and just relax a little bit. I'm starting to learn that a little bit more and more. I go 100% all the time. So, that's probably why I've been injured a little bit more recently.
Well, you know,
I have a feeling that Tyler, I think coffee has Tyler Adams for breakfast. I think that's what I'm learning about this man. You feel me?
You know what? But you know what the best medicine is always is scoring goddamn golazos against Mexico, scoring, especially in that U.S. shirt. I relive, you know, I've seen obviously the goals that you scored for the U.S. men's national team, and they've been amazing. And it's great to see that moment, because especially as a defensive midfielder, the moments don't really show up that often, but when you're there, you capitalize. But that last goal, bro, how do you relive it every moment? Is it, how does it feel? Because just because I've watched that highlight at least 100 times.
Yeah, listen, that was a good one. Like you said, I don't score too many of them, but when I do, you know what I mean. It was a special one. Obviously, a winner in a final is always a little bit more special. But I think the significance for that goal was I was only going to play 45 minutes, and I knew that going into the game. So having spoken to the coaching staff and whatnot, I thought I had a good half up to that point. But when the ball came in, it was like the 44th minute. I was just like, might as well. You know what I mean? Like, right, right. I'm going out at halftime anyways. You never know. So when it went in, I was surprised. I looked up to the fam. Having my friends and family there was obviously special. My son's first game as well. So that was awesome. But yeah, it was amazing.
I want to ask about, obviously, Bournemouth. Yo, the lights are shining bright all of a sudden in Bournemouth. You're there. I'm born and raised in Newark, New Jersey. I thought I'd be the first person from Newark to own a Premier League team. Michael B. Jordan beat me to it. First abs, now this.
What a shock.
Okay. He just designed his own kit. Talk to me about the Cherries kit that he designed, the black and the red.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. Obviously, having a partnership with him is really, really special. The significance that he brings, obviously, in the entertainment world and the career path he has is something special. Obviously, being a Northeast guy, a little bit more significance as well. But he's a great guy. The kits that came out are absolutely fire. They bring a modern twist to obviously a very historical club, so much history to the club. And then to add something like that, I think it just brings a new energy, a new vibe, a new fan base that they're looking for to add to the club as well. So it adds a lot to it.
But isn't there a little bit of like when Michael B. Jordan's around, has anybody just been like, yo, my girl's here, bro. We can't be having Michael B. Jordan around, dog. This is
stick your belly out. Stick your belly out, dude. What are you doing?
Everyone's thinking that.
It's unreal.
I want to ask you a question before we run, because we were talking about you scoring goals, and I noticed something. I watched back some of your goals before this interview, and I even noticed that when other players score, you celebrate with them, but you don't really, really celebrate. You don't really get into the dance moves. Is there a reason why?
I can't dance at all.
That might be the reason.
My man knows his limitations.
Honestly, you have to know where to draw the line, bro. You got to know.
He said these hips don't lie. They don't even tell the truth. No.
They don't even fib. All right. Okay. The one thing I'm curious about, and on a more sort of serious note, especially given I'm sure you're watching the Olympics and you know, watching the U23 team has, you know, obviously a difficult game against France and a frustrating result. But I think the bigger news is the stuff coming out of Canada. I've seen a couple other players comment on this, but just sort of your thoughts. I don't even know. It seems like such a surreal thing because Canada's essentially being accused of spying on teams and their training. And it seems so absurd given that, you know, they seem like a decent program. But what, when you first sort of heard of this, what were your first reactions?
I mean, listen, every team does it. I know for a fact every team does it in some capacity. I don't know about drones and like that seems a little bit crazy, but like, yeah, there's always people when you train in stadiums the day before games or whatever. Someone will be acting like a worker and they're like really working for a different federation or something. Like it happens consistently. I'm positive of that.
Wow.
It's like, why that janitor got a telephoto lens on his glasses, bro?
Exactly.
Yeah. I know. First of all, I want to thank you for giving us your time. I know you got to run a little bit, but I do want to ask, obviously, what should the fans in America expect from Bournemouth in this America tour?
Yeah, obviously, we've been off to an, obviously, a really good start. I think we're just trying to build throughout preseason. This is obviously new to a lot of people in this club, coming on such a tour with such significance. But I think for us, we're leading into a good season. We have a lot of momentum from last season we want to continue to build on. But this is a project in the works, and we have a lot of young players, a lot of players gaining experience still, but a lot of talent. So everyone's just looking to develop still. An amazing young coach, you know, with a bright future as well. And we're just trying to build on it.
Former NYCFC player and exactly. Your coach as well, dude.
Unfortunate.
Yeah. By the way, he was on the bench during the Red Wedding, so he had to watch that.
Exactly. I'll mention it to him today.
I'm sure that's a great way to get on the pitch.
Tyler, Tyler, obviously we wish you the best and in your recovery. Obviously it's been awesome, especially as USMNT fans, seeing you play in the Premier League and crushing it, man. And people I know this season are going to see more and more what you have to offer. So best of luck to Bournemouth, and thank you for joining us today, man.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all.
Welcome back to the Cooligans. Great interview with Tyler Adams.
Tyler, the homie.
The homie. Good friend at this point.
Exactly.
I think he would say it if you asked him. Don't ask him. Let's go to our next interview, though. This is awesome. We're going to talk to someone who knows all about Canada soccer. Here's our interview with Manuel Vaid. All right, Manuel Vaid. Thank you so much for joining us, dude.
Manuel, do you like being called Manny? Is that okay?
That's how German this man is. Nicknames. How dare you?
Yeah, you know, in Germany, it's just Manu.
Oh, but Manu.
A lot of my Canadian friends go with Manny, and I just don't correct them anymore.
It's a, you see it as a sign of honor, though, right? The way we do it out here. He's like,
That's cute.
He's like, of course. Totally.
So look.
What would our nicknames be in German?
Oh, I mean,
Chris? Wow, Chris. There's no excitement there.
And Alex.
Okay. Alex!
Sorry. We should have picked more exciting names.
All right, Chris.
Now we have another reason to be upset.
Pleased to meet you. I'm Alex.
Upset at our parents.
All right. Well, look, you obviously, yes, you're German, but you cover soccer in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And recently,
exactly, there's been a lot of drama because look, I bumped into you yesterday at the Leagues Cup match at Yankee Stadium, NYCFC against Querétaro, and I was thank you for stopping by. I was just excited to see you. I was like, oh, I did not expect you to see you there. So we started talking about Canada, and I loved it's rare that I just bump into Canadian soccer experts, so it was kind of nice. So this is where we sort of are right now. The last time we spoke about this with the Canada soccer drones scenario, it was basically two staff members had been caught. One staff member got caught flying a drone. And then their superior both got sent home after it was discovered that Canada were spying on New Zealand. And then Bev Priestman, the coach, was sent home, benched for one game and was going to miss
suspended.
The game. Suspended for one game.
Yeah. Well, she did that herself, right? She was like, hey, I'm out for the first game.
Exactly. New Zealand. Okay. Like, oh my God.
No need to punish me.
I'm punishing myself. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
You know what, guys? You've got so much to do. You ain't got to worry about this. I'll just peace out for this first game.
And so now where we are is...
let's run it back.
It was discovered, and there was a report that this has been going on a long time. And Bev Priestman then was suspended for 1 year. Canada was deducted 6 points at these Olympics. And
a little harsh.
A little, and also fined $200,000, Canadian dollars. I don't even know.
No. 313 Canadian, 250,000 euros.
Whoa. Okay. Ooh, real money.
Real money.
Money that makes sense.
There's a lot of loonies and toonies.
There's a lot of loonies and toonies.
That's all I know about Canadian money.
So that's kind of where we are now. I mean, this was, we saw a lot of the reports and we saw everything. And so it went from just like, oh, I'm gonna, suspend one game, not a big deal. And this only happened at these Olympics. It's not a systemic thing. And to boom, this has been now.
The CEO's like, no, it's systemic.
This is, and apparently, John Herdman is allegedly involved and all this other stuff. So, how is Canada sort of just responding to this? Because there's just a lot of. There's a lot of emotion. You see emotion
from the players.
What's the vibes in Canada when it comes to this, bro?
I mean, I have to point out I'm a dual national. So I grew up in Germany and in Canada. And I grew up in a soccer country and a non-soccer country at the same time. And it's been really fascinating seeing how Canada is discovering the soccer landscape.
Yeah.
And so obviously this hit a lot of people really hard. The Canadian women's national team soccer community is quite strong as it is in this country. Thank you.
No problem. Appreciate that. I want to make sure people hear you.
I think with that comes sort of this huge disappointment, right? Oh no, what we've done, all the success that we've had, the gold medal in Tokyo, all that sort of stuff.
Right.
You know,
is it tarnished, right?
And it's kind of this huge root wake-up call for a lot of people that maybe also the sport isn't quite as innocent. I mean, we have lots of hockey scandals in Canada. I don't know how aware you are of that, but like there's
not even hit the radio.
So anyways, to learn,
that exists, right? But like the one thing that really stood out to me is when it comes to hockey in Canada, because it's the biggest sport, it's the national sport of the country, there is very balanced reporting. Because for every scandal, there's 10 great stories, right? Oh, look, Canada won another gold medal at this, Canada won another gold medal at that. Look at our hockey teams are so great. And then, so there's a sex scandal, right? So, But with Canada soccer, it's like the only time it ever hits mainstream media is when something bad happens, right? There was the fact that financially they had a lot of problems coming out of the World Cup because all of a sudden the players wanted a lot of money because guess what? They're good.
Yeah.
Right? And Canada soccer got into the situation where like, oh, we didn't really plan to make a World Cup anytime soon. So now we have to find all this money. Then, of course, Jesse Marsh comes in as the head coach. He's get paid for by MLS clubs, right? He's not paid for by Canada Soccer. It's the MLS clubs.
He's the head coach of Canada's men's national team brought to you by
MLS. And so, of course, the women were always this positive story in a landscape that had very few positive stories. And then all of a sudden, this hits and it just goes off like an H-bomb, right?
Right.
And all mainstream media reports about it. And it feels for a lot of people, it's like, well, 80% of the time you report about soccer in Canada, it's because it's bad.
Right.
Right. So, and I think there's been a lot of discourse about that. But it's also interesting how a lot of mainstream personalities, mainstream media personalities sort of discover the sport and think this is like the worst thing that could have ever happened.
Right.
I've seen a Canadian journalist compare this to doping. And I'm like,
not exactly the same.
You know what I mean? Like, it's bad. Like,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's really bad. I mean, the fact that they've spied on other teams is really bad, and there's no excuse for it. And the people who were in charge of setting up this elaborate drone program, the spying program to find out how other teams were setting up in coaching sessions.
Right.
Right.
I just love that Canada has a strong STEM program. All right.
I'm surprised we can't pay the players, but we can afford all these drones.
I know. Right. Right.
In fact, what I'm hearing you're saying is this is a positive for soccer in Canada?
No.
In an overall publicity sense?
No. Well, if you go as far and say bad publicity is good publicity, maybe.
Right.
But, at the end of the day,
I realized the German in you is like, some publicity is hard to get over.
Yeah.
Can't win.
Some of this stuff.
Yeah, let's say it that way. I mean, you're right, right? I mean, at the same time, where was all that publicity during the COVID?
Right.
Right.
Right, right, right.
Where was all these journalists writing for TSN and Sportsnet and so on when it came to the COVID? It made some headlines, but Canada actually played really well at the COVID.
Of course.
Yeah.
Right. So where was all that attention then?
Yeah,
right.
I mean, look,
you need a little controversy
now,
spice things up.
Basically, people are just saying like the common denominator with a lot of these cases that there were issues. With John Herdman, when he was coaching Canada, there was
asked about it. Was it Honduras claimed or Panama claimed?
So there were two. So the two I'm aware of, one against the U.S., I believe in 2017, mm-hmm. It might have been a Nations League game. Mm-hmm. And
which they lost 4-1.
Which they lost. Canada lost 4-1. Yeah. But either players or somebody reported.
Berhalter's like, the drone's here. Everybody do something different.
do TikTok dances.
Yeah, switch it up. They'll never know what's coming.
So that was apparently one of them where reportedly U.S. soccer officials saw that there was a drone. Mm. And I don't know how widely reported it was or if they had mentioned it to any sort of authority in CONCACAF or something like that. And then the other one was the one in Honduras. And
that was reported.
That was reported.
That's how we heard about it.
And John Herdman kind of just shrugged it off like, what did he say? He said, people fly drones all the time.
Lots of people in Canada fly drones.
Lots of people in Canada. You just don't understand our culture. That's what he said.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Lots of people in England fly drones.
No, but that is the difference. No, they don't. Because in Europe, there's actually strong laws against flying drones, which is how they got caught.
Right, right.
It's a good point.
So it's he's becoming a bigger sort of
character in this story, even though obviously he doesn't coach the Canadian men's national team or the women's national team anymore.
I mean, he coaches Toronto FC, which is kind of like the men's national team.
Okay, yeah. I mean, maybe he needs like a few more drones in Toronto out there.
It ain't going well right now.
Okay. Yeah.
But I know Caleb Porter just bought 58 drones. We're going to fix this revolution,
but
bro.
This was one of the quotes when asked about this, and John Herdman said, quote, "I'm highly confident that in my time as head coach at an Olympic Games or World Cup, we've never been involved in any of those activities."
Read the next slide, though, because it... Is that the last slide?
Yeah, there's another slide. What's the other slide? He goes, "I've always gone into Olympic Games, World Cups, big events with integrity in mind. I'll help Canada soccer where I can with that review."
I love that. It's like, hey, well, the big ones, we respect it.
Can you go back to the first quote?
Sure.
Because, I mean, he clearly underlines Olympic Games and World Cup.
Yeah.
Right. That's literally what I'm saying. He's like, no, the big ones, I would never. It's like, look, I cheated on the midterms, but the finals. You know how much I respect you as a teacher, dog?
Are you going to question my integrity right now, son?
We only did it at CONCACAF where everyone does this, so it's okay.
Yeah. And we'll have another interview in this show where we cover that.
But this is, look, and even... This is starting to become, and I don't know how much of a character John Herdman or his escapades are sort of talked about within Canada soccer, because I've always sort of known him as the guy that wears the
aviators.
The flesh colored AirPod,
which is so
but only
creepy.
One.
So only one. No. He seemed like was like a little bit of a kooky guy or whatever. But then
some people have some negative things or at least connotations with him.
The thing with NYCFC, and he accused Nick Cushing of punching one of his players, and MLS did an investigation, and they said they could not corroborate this. Right. I had never. This was. Seemed surreal. We all saw the game this supposedly happened, and I don't recall anything crazy happening at all.
Well, John Herdman said he has drone footage of it. he reveals it, and he's admitting that he has drone
footage. So that's why he can't share it.
He implicates himself.
Where did that investigation go? Did we ever find out?
Yeah, they found out that it's not true.
Oh, no, really?
They found out John Herdman was talking out the side of his mouth. But it turns out he was like, well, I was... He said afterwards, he's like, well, I was told by a player that this is what happened.
But isn't it interesting how it just kind of disappeared?
Yeah.
You never heard of it again, right? I remember seeing it. I'm like, yeah, here's John again getting in trouble. But I mean...
See, and that's what I'm talking about. In Canada, people are like, hey, John's a wild card. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, his nickname is Aviators, right? Because he wears the big sunglasses. He is such a larger-than-life personality. I remember when... My wife works for the government in British Columbia, and he's the sort of person that goes onto speeches and, you know, gives motivational speeches to government officials. And he does that. He did that.
Wow.
And
how do I get in that game?
I know, right? And you get good money for that too, right?
No, I'm aware.
Motivational speeches. And I'm like, why is John Herdman giving motivational speeches? I mean...
Why is he giving motivational speeches at the DJI conference?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, although it'd be pretty funny to do it now. It's like, you know, we use drones.
Right.
Like, how does the government feel about drones? Let's investigate that.
Unbelievable.
But I mean, there are some real questions as to how this affects Canada soccer, the federation, in a run-up to a World Cup being hosted on soil in Canada. I mean, this is a huge deal. I'm hearing about sponsors dropping potentially. Do you think it'll get to that point?
I mean, sponsors say that all the time, right?
Right.
I think that Canada Soccer would be very smart to investigate this and go really deep into this and really find out how this program that seemed to be really elaborate was set up, right? Kevin Blue, the new CEO of Canada
Soccer. Who just got there, right?
Like who just February. Got there.
He's like that meme
of the dog walking into a fire. Sitting in like how like that room that's burning. Yeah, this is fine. I mean, like, I feel bad for him because like he inherited all this stuff. He inherited a soccer association that was in big financial trouble. He inherited a soccer association that at the time had no head coach, right? And then the MLS team stepped up and got Jesse Marsh. And Jesse Marsh walked in and turns it around so quickly. And then he's like, okay, I turned that fire out.
And they're have you thought about a new one?
This one blows up crazy. But, you know, Beth Priestman inherited this from John Hurtman, who was the women's national team coach before he became the men's national team coach. And so you wonder how long ago does this go, right? We know about that case with Honduras, right? They complained about it and they were really adamant that it happened. But we wonder, okay, if that happened, what else happened? We know that Greg Berhalter complained, I think, before that 4-1 victory over Canada in the Nations League. I don't think that was drones. I think they spotted someone spying in the stands. But still, you know, like, that's all very surveillance type kind of stuff. Like, sure, I know the CIA would be proud of that sort of sort of tools that they have at their disposal. So, you know, how deep does this go and what does it mean for him, who, you know, is in this job in Toronto? At Toronto, it's not exactly going well there either, is it?
Yeah.
And as you said, recently got into trouble here at NYCFC and it turned out that was maybe nothing as well. So
he seems to avoid controversy, you know, or not. It comes to him, but he's able to dip before any punishment.
Teflon John.
Damn, okay, bro.
No, but here's a big question that I have. The really big question I have. So if there's all this controversy, you know, Beth Priestman is now taking the fall, but it sounds like it was him who set this up.
He was the mastermind.
Allegedly and all that kind of stuff, But it seems like there's this pile of controversy that he leaves behind wherever he goes. So when does it catch up?
Right? Yeah, hopefully it doesn't affect Canada soccer. But if you do need sponsors, you brought up a great point when you said DJI. How about they get a drone as their main sponsor? A drone company is their main sponsor, bro. Think about this. I mean, there's got to be a drone company in Canada.
Have you guys seen the redesigned Canada soccer logo that's out there?
Yes, I saw. We have retweeted it. Somebody had basically put the a drone over the Canadian.
It's great.
What was it? The
Canada, the soccer ball. The 1980s soccer ball. It's an awesome. It's just awesome.
Which is amazing.
I mean, you got to lean into this kind of stuff too, right? I mean,
you got to do it.
Mike Beauvais. I think I pronounced it. So shout out to him for making that. But the other aspect of it that's interesting is there was another, I forgot who it was. It might have been an anonymous official or somebody from U.S. Soccer, but they were asking them about if they had heard about this as something they experienced, and like, why didn't they report it to any authority? And they said that they were trying to handle it internally because the U.S., Canada, Mexico were bidding for the World Cup, and they didn't want to make Canada look bad and would affect the bid for the World Cup. So this is like,
damn, yo, you take me down, I'll take a fall down.
So it's kind of crazy. Like the there's so many people sort of implicated. And look, the U.S. is not. In that instance, they're not going to complain because it's like business. It's going to affect business. So it's
John
like
John Herman said, you need people like me. So you can point your big finger and say, that's the best.
If you take me down, I'll take you down. We'll sink the ship together.
He said, I tell the truth even when I lie. John Herman.
So surreal, man. This is like, and look, it just seemed like when we found out about it at the Olympics, like, oh, wow, they got caught doing this thing this one time, but man, this is just like such a it's a bigger deal, and clearly it's a thing where how much does it affect the actual play on the field? Like no one can necessarily argue that it's like,
but you've seen the players crying, and you know they've talked about how they haven't eaten in days, and you know, because there's so much stress about what punishment is going to come down. And I still say, and I get that people are like, how can you punish the federation without punishing the players? But in a way, all you did was punish the players by deducting 6 points. This is unfair. These players train by themselves, you know, aside from their clubs, for months to prepare themselves for this. They get there and now they're in a 6-point hole because somebody in the federation.
Maybe. They did appeal it today.
They are appealing it. Yeah. But as of right now, as of this moment, as we're recording, they are in a 6-point hole. And by all accounts, have the opportunity to still qualify and get through.
I think they are too. I think they are.
It would be an amazing story. But I just don't understand how punishing the players in any way, shape, or form affects the federation as a whole when they've made these decisions unbeknownst to the players and they've made these decisions in spite of the players. It just doesn't make sense.
How do you guys feel about the precedent that was set here? Because it is a big fine financially, right? Mm-hmm. It is also that 6-point deduction. It's issued by FIFA, right? Mm-hmm. Of course, Canada Soccer is now appealing it. And my gut feeling is that at least the point deduction will come off, or, you know, it will come off immediately and then go to higher levels of court. So this could play out over months.
Yeah.
Right.
But how do you feel about the precedent that's set here? so will FIFA now, every time someone gets caught spying, and this does happen in soccer a lot. I mean, there's a really famous example that I came across with Julian Nagelsmann when he was still at Hoffenheim, where Werder Bremen got caught spying on him. He just kind of shrugged it off and laughed about it, right? Because it is kind of something that a lot of clubs do.
Right.
So do we see this now every time? Because FIFA is about precedence. And so every time now someone gets caught spying, is it like an automatic 6-point deduction and 250,000 euro fine?
I wonder if it's the spying, because it almost feels like spying, we all sort of accept that there's, you know, clubs are going to look for some kind of advantage.
Yeah.
It's the drone specifically that seems like such an excessive attempt to spy and so deliberate.
So you think if there was a systemic approach to putting like a fake janitor or someone in the stands or something to spy
like
on
a fake janitor development academy where they're just developing.
You didn't think of Canada as the place for that, right? But I'm with you. I like where your head's going. But if it was like a guy trying to get in or a woman trying to get in, you'd feel like the punishment would be less. The drone is, for some reason, for you, a sticking point?
It just seems so much more elaborate. And it also, the data that you are capturing is so much more clear and specific as opposed to somebody having their phone or whatever. And I get that it's similar, but it's just so much more. Seeing a top-down view of like a set piece is much different than watching it from the stands to some degree. So it just seems like the fact that if they had only done this at these Olympics, I don't think this is the penalty. But the fact that the reports came out of like this has been going on for years, that I think that's so what did it.
Because it's systematic.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, that the example that I mentioned was also drones, right?
Right.
But I think you hit the nail on the head there. It is because it's systematic, right? It is, as far as we know, has gone back years now, four or 5 years.
This is part of there's a system in place. That's the punishment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's premeditated.
But can we talk about the fact how stupid Canada soccer were thinking they could get away with this in Paris, all places? Let's fly drones at the biggest high security event on planet Earth in a country that hates drones.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, it's not the smartest thing to do.
Why is
but
no
it's
one
worked
in the room
in the past, I think. So.
Why did no one in the room get up and say, hey, Beth, maybe not the best idea this time around.
Right.
This is what I can't wrap my head around that. It's so ingrained into the culture of
Canadians,
the national team.
Canadians
that,
are not,
like, that no one stood up and said, this is a bad idea. Like, not because we think spying is a bad idea,
so
but because it's the Olympics.
But Canadians are not known for their audacity.
No.
And they had just an incredible amount.
Have you watched hockey ever?
But then just in general,
I think Canadians get away with being kind of the stereotype nice person, and then they go on the ice, play the fastest game on earth,
right,
with like plates that literally can cut you open and punch each other out.
Yeah,
and they have no audacity. I mean, you need to pay greater attention.
Canadians thought of those as like the few standout wackos.
Yeah.
The Canadian hockey players
also
are
our biggest export.
They are your, you know, Roman gladiators.
Right.
You know what I mean? Those are the people you send out to entertain you because they, you know, you've developed these toothless maniacs to go fight each other on the ice or whatever.
You should go to small town Canada and you'll find that those guys make up 80% of the population.
Interesting.
I'm interested in that. Don't ever want to go to small town Canada.
No one wants to.
I just want you to know. I have an idea. I think this is where Canada messed up. One, why would it be an employee flying the drone? Get yourself someone who's not an employee. Get a bunch of B-roll footage of like trees or whatever in there first, and then happen to fly it over the training and say, I don't even know what soccer is, bro. I was just flying around. I saw a bunch of people training. I thought, oh, this is cool footage to have to show my grandkids.
You know all those documentaries that you watch when they transition from one scene to another? Yeah. That's what I do, bro.
And then if they're not an employee, you don't get caught. And if New
well,
Zealand goes,
notice. He was not accredited. Whatever. That means.
Yeah, yeah.
If New Zealand's like, yo, we got it's a cute little grandpa. He didn't know what he was doing. Meanwhile, you know that's Sean Herman's dad. You feel me?
This man is a hobbyist.
Yes.
Why are you attacking him?
You guys saw the job application that Canada Soccer put out?
Yeah, because it said you must know how to fly drones. Did you see this?
I did not see that.
Okay. But here's the thing, though. You need the drones for your own training. So I feel bad.
No, the timing of it is just it's like amazing, right?
Optics are not good. But if you think about it, you still need to do it. It was the one genius, John Herdman, who said, hey, but if it works for us, if this helps us with our training, imagine what it could do if we had their training.
Why do I also need to have the special skill of learning how to use night vision?
Yeah.
Exactly. That seems excessive.
I also have another idea. Why is Drake not involved? Now, I've seen Drake put down bets on steak for like $600,000 betting on the Canadian national team. Homie, they just took a $250,000 fine. You should pay that. And it's now the Canadian national team brought to you by Drake.
I love that because whenever something goes wrong in Canada, we blame it on Drake. Right. You know, we respond. Right. Drake shows up in a Maple Leaf jersey. So of course they lose.
Yeah.
Drake shows up in a Ohtani jersey just before the Blue Jays were supposed to sign him. Yeah, they're not getting him. He's going to the Dodgers. He said, you know, like every time something goes wrong.
He said, we started this, right?
Drake puts money on Cuba. They go out.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
This is why I honestly think.
I like that idea.
I honestly think Drake should get more involved. He should be the main sponsor, especially when you consider that in the beef he had with Kendrick Lamar, Kendrick seemed to have, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Brought everyone together in LA.
Yeah, united the community to essentially.
Drake didn't do that in Canada. This would be the way you do
that. That's because Drake is from Toronto. If there's one thing about Canada you need to know, other than that every small town person is a hockey player,
right?
Is that there's Toronto, and then there's the entire rest of the country hating Toronto.
This Canada. Canada needs unification because all I hear is Quebec. Well, they're not one of us. Well, Toronto, they're not one of us. Then who are you? Who are you? What are you, just the mountains in Alberta?
Toronto and Canada.
No, but what about Quebec?
They always are there.
All right,
Manuel.
I can't solve all of Canada's problems. I just know Drake needs to get involved.
Manuel, thank you so much, man. This has been great. Everybody, make sure you go support and follow Manuel Vate.
Faith.
It's okay.
Okay.
Can get this right.
Did we get it right? Faith?
No, Germans can't get it right. Canadians can't get it right. You guys can't get it right. It's fine. I forgot how to pronounce it. It's Manuel Faith.
Manuel Faith.
Yeah.
Right. Manu, everybody.
That works.
A couple guys like Chris and Alex here.
Go follow him on X, and you see it there. Manuel, V-E-T-H.
If you're wondering, wait a minute, that guy looks familiar. Every time you're on transfermark.com, that's his face that pops up in a little video bubble.
Yes, it is.
Exactly. does incredible work. And we get to hang out with you in Germany from time to time.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Hopefully soon again. Yeah, you guys coming to the Super Cup?
We'll see.
Well, you just invited us. So make room.
All right, day of battle, get these guys on.
Manu, thanks so much, man.
That was awesome. Thank you.
That was great.
Shout out to Manu, the homie.
And Tyler Adams, all of our guests today.
So look, I'm kind of talking about, they got a lot to figure out.
They got a lot.
So it's going to be interesting.
If only they could get like a bird's eye view of the whole picture of what's happening.
That's really what they need. If only there was a device, an apparatus that was able to do that. So shout out to Manu, shout out to Tyler. Thank you again to everybody for tuning in. Always appreciate it. Shout out to all the Cooligans fans and supporters.
Shout out to everyone at Yahoo Sports.
Exactly. They are just lovely.
Beautiful people.
Yeah, the most attractive people.
Yeah. They didn't hire one ugly person.
That was what we said in our contract. Yeah. We said, we cannot be around.
Yeah, no uggos, dude. not in our studio.
No other talent is willing to be brave enough to make that kind
you
of
You want it in your contract. We actually put it in ours. So, honestly enough, though, it makes us look bad.
Exactly.
No, we look ugly.
Okay, but we went too far.
Yeah.
We
need some uggos in here to make us feel better.
So, make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social channels. Subscribe here to the YouTube channel. Subscribe to the podcast. Tell a friend about the Cooligans crushing it here at Yahoo Sports. And obviously, the Olympics still going on. We got a lot more coverage to do, and we'll see.
We got so much Leagues Cup, Liga MX, NWSL, Summer Cup.
Everything's going on.
You need a shorter name.
These preseason matches. It's incredible.
Arsenal's in town, huh?
It's a summer of soccer.
Let's go.
Okay.
Summer of soccer.
All right, we'll see you on Thursday, everybody. Peace.
Love you guys.